Good evening, everyone. We're so glad that you took a few m moments out of your time to tune in this evening. I'm Renisha Ford, CEO and Principal Consultant for RDF Consulting Group, and we are here for RDF Perspectives, our first healthcare podcast. And
Yes.
joining me this evening on her birthday is my friend and colleague, Kamala Richmond. Hey, Cam.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you? How's your day?
My day has been fabulous.
Great,
Thank you for
great,
asking.
great. So we've been promoting our first healthcare podcast and telling everybody that they are in store for a tremendous conversation, the beginning of many, right, on all
Absolutely.
things healthcare transformation. So there are a couple of things this evening that I really want us to focus on around healthcare transformation. So quality and patient safety goals, which
Okay.
are critical, right? Those are
Absolutely.
foundational. That's healthcare 101.
Absolutely.
And the alignment between community needs assessment, organizational goals, and departmental goals.
Okay.
So that's a big one,
So
right?
leave it to Dr. Ford to just jump right into business. But before we go there, let's go back. Let's talk about how we got here. Okay, because this, you guys have to hear the story. It has been years in the making, and the fact that we're here today, I am just so proud and honored to be a part of this team of consultants in healthcare. But Renisha, let's go there. So, how did we get here?
So about right before COVID hit, right? So right before COVID hit, I had this idea of having a healthcare consulting firm because in my 20 years of being in healthcare, I have just been fortunate enough to work with extraordinary people, particularly extraordinary women who are great in their own areas of expertise, who are genuine and passionate about improving the lives of the people in the communities that they serve. And I think that that's key. And for me, that was an sort of an aha moment. Man, I'm surrounded by all of these great people, this wealth of knowledge. How can we be even more impactful than we are at our individual institutions, right? And so you get used to, though, of that paycheck every 2 weeks. It's consistent. It comes like clockwork. I do my work, I perform, and it keeps coming, right?
That's
And
right.
then it's like, but how can I give back a little bit more of myself in a different way? And so last fall, I said, now's the time. Let's just do it. And we talked about it and we brought in our circle of colleagues and friends who are consultants, and everybody was on board. Everybody was saying, hey, sign me up. I'm ready to do this. And that's how we got here. We just have a love for helping people, and we want to leave the world a little bit better than it was when we got into this healthcare game. And so that's what we're here to do with RDF Consulting.
I love it. I love the story. I definitely have been part of the journey, and I think everyone on our team has exuded to you how proud we are of you. It takes a lot to step out of that regular paycheck, and really own and work hard for what you know and believe is the right thing to do. So kudos to you. Kudos to our team. They're not on with us tonight, but you all will get an opportunity over the months to meet them and learn about their areas of expertise as well. So now we'll go to business. So we'll jump in. So one of the things that Renisha talked about being foundational to healthcare are our patient safety goals. And so I think let's go back and talk about when we first met and how that meeting and our relationship and collaboration helped to change the project that we were working on. Give them a little bit of the background of the project, and then you can jump in on how the patient safety rolls into when teams collaborate.
So Cam and I met when we were working for this amazing organization, one of the largest healthcare systems in the country. And we were building a 100-bed hospital on the in the Northeast. And so we were building this hospital. We were sitting around the table, all of the different areas, all the disciplines, sitting there, mapping out how we were going to build this hospital. That was a result of the need in a newer community in this area, right? So we were answering the call to the needs of the community. They did not have a hospital within 15 miles, right, that they could get to and get their loved ones to in emergencies or to birth their babies. And so our organization answered the call. And in doing so, we put at the forefront that we wanted to ensure that this was a safe place for the patients in our community, right? We wanted to deliver babies in the most safe way possible. We did it at our legacy hospital, but we had
Absolutely.
to make sure that no matter which site or campus they went to, that they received the same exact quality of care, even if there was a variation in the bed size, if there was a variation in the staffing model. But we built it and equipped it based on creating a safe environment for our patients.
I think, it's always interesting when we look back. For those of you who don't know, the hospital that we built was in Germantown Hospital, and it was the first new hospital in over like 25 or 26 years that was built in the state of Maryland. So one, it was fun to be a part of that. But imagine bringing together not only a new facility built from the ground up that has this major mothership hospital like 20 minutes down the road. We were the baby sister, right? And so some of the challenges that we faced in providing that exceptional care was we had policies to write, but the policies at the mothership didn't necessarily match the practice at the small hospital. And so what we found was as we came together and sat around the table, we really had to do things a little bit differently in order to be successful in providing that high level of care for our patients. So that's where Renisha and I met and started our colleagueship that then turned into a friendship. And so let's talk about that patient quality that you were referencing before and setting those standards. What do you think was one of the biggest challenges that we overcame as we got to know each other and started setting up this new hospital?
I think one of the things from a culture perspective, Cam, that we overcame, and this was really through a guiding light from our chief mission officer, was a refocus, right, on our values, the values of the organization. And one of those values was reverence. So respecting each other, respecting each other's areas of expertise, right? And we were on that high reliability journey anyway. So it focuses on deference to expertise. And so when it came to medication management on your units, then you offered that deference to expertise to me and my team, right? What is the best way? What is the workflow for us to administer medications in the safest way possible to our patients, right?
I
And so
think
I think that was really started the collaboration so that we weren't operating in silos, because it's easy, especially the larger you are, it's easy to function in silos, but we were starting and building something new from scratch that the majority of us had never done in our careers, right? So we had to figure it out, but the key was we had to figure it out together.
Well, and that's a huge takeaway. I think that, we're just part of a society where everybody kind of thinks about self, and it's no different in healthcare, right? Nursing is my background and my expertise area. And so in my mindset, nursing is it's all about nursing. Pharmacy's mindset is all about pharmacy. Even down to facilities, it's all about facilities. But what we learned sitting around that table was there was an opportunity to really support one another. And I think that that opportunity came the greatest for us and our teams when we started to break down those silos. I remember specifically the nurses were complaining about, we're needing medication from pharmacy and it's not coming fast enough. And so I took the opportunity to say, hey, I need to understand your process so that I can then take it back to my team and have them understand. And I think at that point is when we started shadowing units so that staff could get a better understanding of what is the workflow for this department, because it's completely different for yours. However, we support and rely on each other to take care of patients. And so I think that that's one of the greatest tools that we implemented in the new hospital, of having team members shadow other team members in other departments. Because I will tell you, I gained a whole different level of respect after I came and spent a day at the pharmacy. I thought y'all were just taking pills out of bottles and, you know, putting them in packs and sending them upstairs.
Licking and sticking.
Yeah, absolutely. But when I got downstairs and I saw like all these automated machines filling things and understanding the process of what it takes to, when my Pyxis is down and needs to be restocked, actually having to pull those meds, have a tech bring them up to the floor, load them into the machine. IVs, like I just literally thought y'all were downstairs poking IVs with some ampicillin and sending them upstairs. But there's this like whole hooded situation. You have to be dressed specifically. There are certain guidelines that go into that. And I think that that was an eye opener for me. It really made me think about, okay, while my department is important and the care that we give to patients is important, every other department that supports us is just as important. And so having those conversations and being able to really work together and break down those silos, I think was one of the key things that made us significantly better at process improvement, at patient care, at meeting those patient safety goals, almost so much so, sorry, if there are any Holy Cross people watching this, we love you, but I almost feel like we did a little bit better. Just saying.
Well, the good part about is that we leverage a lot of resources from the Legacy Hospital, right?
Absolutely.
And that's really where we learned about matrix relationships also. And system roles that brought us more into systemness, even including system from Trinity. The support that we had from the system level was amazing. I mean, the feeling when we opened the doors on that first day and having all of our executive leaders from headquarters to come and be there and support and congratulate us, I think to me that meant the world. But I think going back to the shadowing, you're right, because I remember, you know, for pharmacy, us putting in orders for antibiotics and things that require labs. And luckily, lab was across the hall from pharmacy. And so being able to partner and do that shadowing to understand the processes in the lab that blood work has to undergo, right?
Yeah.
In order for us to get to where, oh, I can time this antibiotic for this time, because that gives the lab enough time to do their work.
Right.
It then gives us enough time to do our work, right? And then for us to get the medication to the floor in a timely fashion for the patient and for nursing to administer. So the collaboration was key. And you have to have collaboration when you're talking about quality metrics and patient safety, right?
Absolutely.
All of us would indirectly impact our quality outcomes. So when we talk about readmission rates, right? Whether a patient returns on day 29 versus day 35, it is to the level of care that everybody provided, right? We're talking about environmental services and cleanliness. We're talking about nursing. We're talking about providers and diagnoses. We're talking about pharmacy and medication management.
Yep.
The whole patient experience, the whole educating the patient and the discharge process, but even our admission process, right? So medication reconciliation on the front end and then on the back end of the visit. And then our communication in transitions of care.
Absolutely. Right? Oh my gosh.
So that's a big thing as we talk about transformative healthcare and innovation, right?
Can I just cut in there and say, if you are in a healthcare system today that is still on paper, you have a major problem to fix. Because when we talk about consistency and continuity of care, Paper trails are the worst thing that you can have working these days. You have to change over to a system that's electronic that can be utilized across multiple clinical expertise areas so that everybody can have an eye on the chart. There's no greater tool than an electronic health record. We don't always love them. Some of them have their nuances with them, but if you are in a facility today that is still on paper, I urge you to get with your executive team, your IT team, and make
and
that change.
Call RDF Consulting. We and are we here to help you.
Yes, and we can help you integrate that
system.
We're
here to help you integrate your system. Absolutely. To walk through the process to find the most economical systems to support, right? Because we know that some of you are in rural hospitals and your resources are limited.
Yes.
But please know that even though your resources are limited, there are ways to leverage, right?
Absolutely.
Leverage your purchasing power. You can do that through connecting with other rural hospitals to have a greater purchasing power. You can connect with larger healthcare institutions to see if they have resources to support you where you can purchase underneath their contracts as well. There are lots of innovative ways to provide you with the tools and resources that you need to provide this optimal care to your patients.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that's a lot that we just unpacked. So let's go a little bit more, Cam, into community needs and alignment with strategic goals, both from a community perspective, organizational perspective, and even departmental, right? The front line. So, you know, on the employee engagement surveys, there's a question on there that talks about if you believe that you are of value to your organization, if you understand your role in the overarching strategic goals of your organization. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've experienced it as a leader, right? We move so fast. We get going so much and we're getting things done and we're delivering, right? Because we are results-driven leaders. Absolutely. We are delivering and sometimes we forget the pause.
Oh, absolutely.
The pause to explain how, even though you may not directly, you may not be forward facing at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how you impact the organization's success in achieving its strategic goals.
So that goes back to Simon Sinek's the why, right? So as a leader, to make these changes, to be impactful with your team and being aligned with the mission and the vision of the facility or organization that you work for, you as a leader have to have your staff buy-in. And the only way to do that, in my experience, I think that what has made me successful in that is I can do every job I expect my leader to do. I refused to get into healthcare leadership until I could understand the roles, because how do you truly hold people accountable if you don't even know what their job is, right? And then in leadership, we know that there are always changes. It's inevitable in healthcare, right? From day to day, during COVID, from minute to minute, policies were changing like by the minute as we were getting information out. And so you have to be flexible to move with that. But I think a lot of the times we forget that we understand what the ask is, but we don't always do a great job of communicating that to the front line. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we definitely have an opportunity when we talk about community. It's interesting. I'll just give a quick example. So in the maternity world, right? Back in 2016, when I was on the East Coast, we were so progressive with postpartum hemorrhage and the fact that it was the leading cause of maternal morbidity and mortality, even in the United States. Fast forward 2 years later, in 2016, I moved to Texas. Oh my God. They were 20 years behind what we were doing on the East Coast. They had no maternal hemorrhage protocols. They didn't have maternal designation. So if you landed at a facility, good luck. Like, I don't know, you know, prayerfully, there were enough support people there to help you. But, you know, again, it's just knowing what's going on in your community, being able to give the why of why we're making this change, why it's going to be impactful, why it's important, how it supports our mission is so important to our frontline teams and making sure that we're reaching that level of quality that's expected from our patient population.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you walk into doors of health systems, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that everybody does not do everything the same.
Right.
But we all have common goals, right?
Absolutely.
To take care of our patients. And so it's, you know, taking that step back, doing your assessments and saying, okay, if we're lacking in one area, mm-hmm. how do we bring that area up, right?
Yeah.
And if we're doing great in some areas, how do we continue to highlight and elevate that level of care, right? That standard, right? And
right.
how do we share where we are excellent, right? So
yeah.
if we have centers of excellence, how do we share that with other organizations, right? Everybody, yes, there's competition, but ultimately we want everybody to be successful and to provide great care, right? So
absolutely.
Why not collaborate with our partners, right, in healthcare and say, hey, I'm really good at this and I'd love to share this with you. I know that you're really good at this. Could you share and impart that to our organization? Come and help tell us how you did that. Because work smarter, not harder, right? If somebody else is doing it great, just glean from them on how to do it great as well. And so I think the collaboration is key to achieving high quality outcomes for our patients.
Absolutely.
And if I come to you, right, when I'm at a low point in my life mm-hmm. or my loved one, right,
mm-hmm.
and every outcome is not necessarily what we want the outcome to be.
Absolutely.
But even at those times when the outcomes are not the best, if we show that we are genuinely concerned mm-hmm. about our patients as individuals, mm-hmm. right, and we provide them the best care possible for their individual situation, right? Mm-hmm. That customized patient-centered approach and care,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're going to tell their loved ones, their friends, their neighbors, right? And it
absolutely.
All returns back to the organization. But your focus has to be the patient, right?
Absolutely.
And I remember the one thing, and I know my teams always got tired of me saying it. They probably thought it was a cliche, but it's truly how I feel in my heart and in my spirit. At the end of everything that we do, mm-hmm. it is somebody's mother, mm-hmm. brother, child, grandparent.
Yeah.
And so when you're working every day, when I sat behind my desk making decisions, right, that's what I thought about. If that was my grandmother, right?
Right.
What steps would I want to take? How would I want to ensure that that process was perfected or
absolutely.
As safe as possible? Because that's how I would want her to be treated.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to always keep patients and that they are connected to someone in our community
mm-hmm.
at the forefront in everything that we do. And we know, you know, we've been healthcare leaders for 20 years.
Yeah.
We know that sometimes it's a heavy burden. And sometimes there are decisions that you have to make that don't feel good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's always an ask at the top that trickles its way down. And, you know, like you said, if we don't make it individualized care, then it just becomes a system failure because patients leave the hospital. They don't feel like they were cared for. They don't feel supported. Sometimes they don't even feel better. You know, it's one of those fine lines that we have to balance. I think one of the other challenges, right, when we talk about quality of care and we talk about community assessment and need, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Right. And so as a healthcare practitioner for over the past 20 years, I have always put my focus on, is my patient leaving me in a better state than when they arrived to me? And for me, that was quality healthcare. If you came here and you weren't feeling well and you couldn't walk the right way or couldn't talk the right way, and we got you back to functioning and on your way home or to a rehab facility for extra support, I thought, great, I did a good job. But I have to throw this in there. The culture of healthcare has changed, right? Mm-hmm. And so now something that's highly valued in healthcare is patient experience. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about it. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's a good thing, right? I think whatever the why is behind it, right?
I like whatever that you said that. Whatever the why is.
Whatever the why is behind it, now that it is highlighted, right, and key, mm-hmm. let's take the opportunity to do the right thing behind it, right? So to our patient experience team members who have been working in that vineyard, right, for Absolutely. Years and years and years, taking Absolutely. Patient complaints, trying to express to leaders the importance of service recovery and timely service recovery, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, and you may think that this is weird, as a leader in pharmacy not always being as forward-facing at times, right? But right. now we have our clinical specialists that are part of the core patient care team. And so we are.
Right.
But one of the highlights for me, I'm upset about it, right? But okay. I own it. I am fully accountable for it. It's the opportunity to do service recovery.
Oh, it's a huge miss. People prefer to dodge. They prefer to dodge that,
but
right?
I don't,
and hope that it'll go away.
But I don't, Cam.
I know.
I embrace it. Now I have to breathe, right, when it comes to me.
Yeah.
Right? And I have to critically think and understand. And that's where it comes in. You as a leader have to know your processes, right?
Absolutely.
You have to know it as well as your team members who are doing it every day.
Absolutely.
So for me, I have to understand what our process is, be able in that moment to identify the gap. We'll fix it when I get back, right?
Right.
But go to that patient, be empathetic, right?
Absolutely.
And explain to them how this happened and what we're going to do to fix it to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the key things I think you have to add to that too is I always leave the patient with, you know, I think sometimes patients think that when they have an outcome that's not what they expected, that they're complaining, right? But I always remind patients, you are on the receiving end of this train, because it's a train, mm-hmm. right? There's mm-hmm. multiple stops along the way to get to the patient. Mm-hmm. And so your feedback is a gift to me. I don't look at it as a complaint. I look right. at it as an opportunity to correct something that's broken on the train.
And be
it's
better.
Something that I may not see because I'm not on the train ride every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the head of the train, throwing out the things that need to get done. But if there's a step in there that's missing, I may not see it, but it actually makes its way to the patient. So I always tell patients, like, your feedback is a gift. And while, you know, I'm going to have to go have a tough conversation with a team member or with a physician or with even one of my executives, it's a conversation that has to be had, because if we don't talk about it, then we can't fix it.
Right.
So
right.
I totally right. agree with you from that aspect.
And the patient feedback is one of our most valuable resources, right?
Absolutely.
That is readily available for us to use, even in rounding, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think another thing when we go back to silos, is around, even if you are in a clinical support area, right? Mm-hmm. You can round. You can round on patients to ask them about their experiences, ask if there's anything that your team can do better. Mm-hmm. I think that is very important and definitely impacts the patient experience for them to see faces, right? Other than nursing, right? Because we want to be supportive of our nursing colleagues. And one way we can do that is that we can engage our patients to receive our own feedback, right? So if your IV was late, right?
Mm-hmm.
The patient doesn't have to beat up on the nurse on the unit, right?
Right.
you as a leader, right? Me as a leader in pharmacy, I can go and say, hey, give me some feedback. How did we do today? And it's either going to be great. I love my pharmacist. I'm about to get discharged. And my pharmacist told me about all of my medications. I don't feel like I'm going to be confused when I go home. Mm-hmm. Or it can be, hey, I take this medication at 8 o'clock every day at home. Right. And here you gave it to me at 11.
Yeah.
Right. Those types of things. And so I think there's just so much, right? Mm-hmm. Into quality and patient safety goals, alignment between what our community needs, right? Hearing and listening to their voice, being engaged and reading the health needs assessment, right?
Absolutely.
Understanding your organization's strategic goals and the why behind it, and then being able to take those two things and align your individual departmental goals with it and explaining the why to your team, right? And you're going to have to explain it more than once.
Oh, yeah.
But taking, being committed and consistent with taking that pause to have those conversations. And one thing that's key, right? We want buy-in. Buy-in does not equate to I agree.
Right.
Buy-in equates to I understand the why.
Yeah.
I trust you as my leader. I trust this organization that we're doing the right things for our patients.
Right. Yeah.
And so we could talk we could talk all day, right?
Absolutely.
But we truly thank you all for taking a few minutes to listen to us and our conversation about transformative healthcare, how we got here, some of the things that we have faced, some of the things that are relevant to you and what you face day in and day out. And I hope that this brought some value and you enjoyed the conversation. There's much more to come from RDF Consulting. RDF Absolutely. Perspectives will be dropping a healthcare podcast to you every third Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So stay tuned for next month's episode. It'll be around community engagement. Take care.
Thanks. Have a great evening.